Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Back right here on the Kevin Walsh Show. Kevin Walsh with you, of course, the Sports Grid podcast. I know it's been a little while. I just figured 4th of July, the festivities. I didn't need to start throwing people outrageous amounts of content. Plus, we sent you off in a good way. I thought with the 2-hour hoops wrap-up we did with Joe Frizzo. Frizzo, of course, owns the guest record, but we're about to bump up that list, that Rolodex a little bit, with Chris Koski in the fold here. Chris, what an absolute treat. We're getting close to football season, so you know I had to give you a call.
No, I appreciate it. I'm so honored to join the luxurious list of guests you've had on the Kevin Walsh podcast show. And, you know, Frizzo and I, always very competitive in fantasy sports. I like to beat his record for guests.
I mean, whoa. I mean, listen, it'll be – I like that. I like the shooting for the stars. For just the background for people that don't know, Chris is Yarnell's gonna kill me. He's really is the lead producer though of Game Time Decisions. Chris is also the person I talk NFL draft with more than anyone else. If anybody that remember, like on Twitter, we released the mock together. So I thought this would be the good time, and I had this idea because ESPN's putting out their top 10 at every position, where Jeremy Fowler talks to, as he labels it, execs, coaches, and scouts, and they come to what would be their final composite ranking of the 10 best at certain positions. And we're going to do this next week at some point with quarterbacks, but I thought we would get into the skill position players, the running backs and wide receivers. I didn't want to do running backs only because, honestly, if we have Chris here, we should do both. That was really my thoughts. Let me just ask you this first. Did you find making the top 10 more difficult for the receivers or the running backs?
Receivers. I felt like receivers, I just went off of straight vibes. I was like, you know, like, ooh, this guy's good. This guy's good. This guy's consistently good. This guy tailed off last year. Like, the running backs were like, I don't know. Like, my list was solid. I definitely think the bottom two were like, whoa, like, I'm missing some guys. Like, who's getting left off? Who do I have to add in? Like, I just tinkered my list before we recorded.
Did you really?
Like, yeah, I was in the shower, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not feeling this. I gotta bump some guys up, bump some guys down.
All right, so listen.
The running backs are fun.
The thing is, I know that you and I aren't going to agree on everything here, but that's totally fine. What we're gonna still go up from 10 to 1. Okay. But basically, because like, I don't want us to be all over the place, right? Like, I'll throw out, hey, this guy is here for me at this spot, and then you let us know where they is, and we'll kind of find the finality of these lists. What I wanted to start with this, though. Two honorable mentions who did not make my list, maybe one, maybe both made yours. I ended up considering Devon Achane. But ultimately, I just thought last year was so hit or miss. I thought the injuries from year number one, I could not get there putting Achane on the list, despite the fact that last year, I bet him to an offensive player of the year. I thought he had that type of juice. The other guy I ended up considering like 10 times more than I thought I would was Breece Hall. He is still that home run hitter, and he's very good in the receiving game. I held him back. I feel good about my top 10, but those were two, you know, cut line guys for me, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I have one of those two guys on my list.
Who? Go ahead, tell me who and where you have him.
Achane's 8 on my list.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
No, Breece Hall. Like, I'm
Yeah.
I guess because I'm a Jet fan and like I kind of believe into everything they're saying, but like all I've seen is reports like Aaron Glenn said he wants to use every single back. Aaron Glenn says Breece Hall is their guy. Aaron Glenn says Braylon Allen needs more carries. I mean, he's probably talking to Joe Lisi about that one. I don't know. Like, I think the Jets are going to be so interesting this year. And I think they're going to use all three of their backs the way like the Lions did last year with Montgomery and Gibbs and all that stuff. And I don't think Breece Hall's got the clear pathway to be the number one running back. Like, he's going to get the chance to do it. But like, he fumbles, he struggles. Like, Braylon Allen's right on his tail being like, I'm ready for this. So the whole situation just like, it scares me. And also, too, like, I think they're going to run the ball a lot with Fields. I think that's going to take away some. So while he might gain a lot in the receiving game, I think his carries are going to drop. And I wonder, too, like, Braylon Allen just might be the guy. Like it might be Breece Hall early and then late in games. I'd be like, listen, we're going to bring in the size and the power of Braylon Allen, let you wear him down with that. So I. He just scares me, Breece. He really does. The injuries scare me too. I mean, as a fan, I hope he cracks the top 10, but I'm a little skeptical.
I'll remind people of this. Chris and I know we've been talking about this. This is not a fantasy list, right? Like, don't I'm not drafting based on this order at all. This is if our goal is to next year win the Super Bowl, who's the running back we want leading our backfield next season, and not further than that. What I would say on Breece is I think getting to play next to Fields could be really helpful because I think always playing next to mobile quarterbacks is really helpful. Let's go back to Achane though. Again, if we would have did this podcast last year, I might have had him inside my top five. But
You're
so
the biggest Achane fan.
I know, and I think maybe I let myself get too burned to the fact that I kept him out. But make the case on Achane. Why did he get inside your top 10 landing at eight?
So I saw a report on Twitter and it really got me fired up where it was just like, hey, I forgot who tweeted. It was like, after this Jonnu Smith move, like Achane, like bigger carries, more catches, right? Okay, Mostert's out of there. Great. Jeff Wilson's gone out of there. So who is he really like? He's with Jalen Wright, right? Like young guys. Like I think this is the year where Achane finally puts it all together, right? And it really kind of his success kind of lays in the fact can Tua stay healthy? Because we saw when Tua wasn't really in the game, it wasn't the same for Achane. Like he's getting like 10 catches a game, right? But he's not getting those carries. So I do think it's a big year for the Dolphins. McDaniel's on the hot seat. Like I think this is the year they're like, listen, we have this insane running back with size, with speed, can run, can catch, red zone threat, can really do it all. We're fighting for our lives here. We're fighting for our jobs. Like, let's use this guy to his full capability and let's run the brakes off with him. And I'm excited for Achane too. Like, I think injury, big concern for him, but if he stays healthy, like the numbers are going to be crazy in the rushing and the receiving game for him. I'm like really, really psyched for Devon Achane this year.
Listen, I don't blame you. I think the thing that again, he was right there. I threw him in the honorable mention. Some of the receiving stuff, like it just I don't know. I was like, is this gimmicky? Like, is he this great? And then like year number one again, like I'm sure everyone remembers it. Like he was doing the Saquon thing, right? It's like, oh, he's gonna score a 50-yard touchdown in every game. And then last year he went to like 4.5 yards a carry, right? So you lost a lot of efficiency in that way. I guess I Achane is one of those guys, and this will happen for me in some other areas where I am positive. Like if we did this at the midway point, Chris, I wouldn't be unwilling to have him way high on a list. So let me throw you my 10th guy. I feel like this is a guy you may not have on your list. I actually think I could just based on the like I feel like we may have nine. We'll have it, I would say at least eight similar. That's my guess.
I agree.
At 10 for me, I gave James Conner some love. Did he make your list?
Wow. No, didn't even think about him, honestly.
Okay. Here's what I would say. Initially, that was my same vibe. It's like, there's no way James Conner's a top 10 back. Consecutive seasons of 1,000 rushing yards. He has a 15 touchdown season under his belt. He's been very good in the receiving game. We know that. And I am going to reference Pro Football Focus some throughout this show because I think it's an additional tool. Now, it's not a Bible. I'm not going to give people, hey, here's who PFF ranked, you know, 1 through 10. Here's my 1 through 10. But he did finish as a top five running back each of the last two seasons on Pro Football Focus, which I thought was pretty impressive. I've seen him be really valuable in the receiving game for Kyler Murray. He's not a guy we ever thought was going to be elite. And James Conner is someone who I have at 10, who at no point will have a chance to be one of the two best running backs in the league. Achane has that chance. Breece Hall has that chance. But there's also something to be said about the solidness that James Conner brings to the table.
I think that's a sneaky good one. Like, he didn't crack my list because of age and because of health. Mm-hmm. But a little tease. I had a guy similar in the wide receiver list that I put at 10. That kind of feels like a comp to James Conner in the wide receiver position. Like, just consistently good. Like, he's old, but he's there. So a little tease there. But I agree. Like, Conner is just like he's a good 10. Like, I like that. Like, even though I don't have him on my list, like, he just feels like a safe veteran guy. And the biggest thing about Conner, too, is like, you and I spoke about the Cardinals as a whole. Like, we think they take the next step this year. They can't do that unless James Conner is healthy and putting up those numbers again. So I do like him at 10. That's sneaky good, Kev. Love that one.
I also got to tell you, I think we may have the same number 10 wide receiver, but we'll get there. But I like that. So let me go. So let me give you my ninth guy. Okay. This was a really bizarre one, but I have Jonathan Taylor at 9.
So do I.
You have him at 9?
Yes.
Okay. Can I give you a crazy Jonathan Taylor thing that, like, I never would have expected? Yes. So I was trying to just see, like, where he was graded on Pro Football Focus, right? For those that do not know, Jonathan Taylor last season finished 4th in rushing yards, 5th most carries, 11 touchdowns. Like, Jonathan Taylor put up statistics last year. They graded 59 running backs on Pro Football Focus. Jonathan Taylor was the 58th graded running back.
Jeez.
I still, like, my mind was absolutely blown. They graded 63 running backs in the receiving game. He finished 62nd. It was so jarring. To me, I don't care. I know Jonathan Taylor is good. He was not going to not be on this list for me, but I could not put him any higher for those numbers to be there. Like, again, some of the numbers on PFF can be a little all over the place. I thought that was one of those numbers that kind of was a tiebreaker for me on Jonathan Taylor in a way that I wasn't necessarily expecting to have. Now, again, this is a guy who's been producing at a solid level since he stepped into the league. But if you look at Jonathan Taylor, the two prior seasons, not super available, not as efficient as he was in each of his first two seasons. So I think that starts to make the case a little bit there on Jonathan Taylor. Let's do a quick podcast break. I know we're early in, but we're going to do a quick one here early so we can start to blitz through some of this top 10. We're on the Kevin Walsh Show.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, so we're going through our top 10 running backs. We do a quick break to maybe get that out of the way so we could just keep on powering through here. At 10 for me is James Conner. At 9 for me is Jonathan Taylor. At 8 for me, James Cook, Buffalo Bills. A guy I wasn't sure I was going to have on this list, Chris. And then I realized I think I was almost hating a little bit. The 16 touchdowns last year went under the radar. And what really locked me in to James Cook deserving a top 8 spot, he was fantastic in the playoffs. And arguably, the Bills not giving James Cook the ball more against Kansas City specifically is why they ended up not going to the Super Bowl. Did you have James Cook on that list?
No James Cook on my list.
Ooh.
I think it's the same thing. I think I just got hate towards him, man. And I think it's like a bias for me because like, I think 2 years ago when he was in that terrible touchdown drought, like I was betting his anytime touchdowns nonstop, constantly just screwed me. And like, I don't know, like the whole contract situation scares me. Like, does Buffalo even really trust him? Like, I felt like there were so many times last year late in games for Buffalo where they're like, nah, we don't need James Cook. Let's put Ray Davis, let's put Ty Johnson on the field. And like, let him get some rips in there. And like, I'm like, okay, do you not trust James Cook? Like, what don't you trust about him? And for that, like, I just kept him off the list. I think there's so many good backs out there that the inconsistency and, like, the scariness of, like, what Buffalo thinks about James Cook kind of kept him off my list.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, look, they don't view him as, like, one of the three best, four best guys in the league, no. Right? I think that's very obvious. But neither do I. Obviously, neither do you. Again, it's very interesting because postseason stuff usually only gets weighted into the quarterback position, but there were some guys where it felt like it stood out to me. And truly, like the James Cook game against Kansas City, Chris, like 13 carries for 85 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then 3 catches for 49 yards in that game. Like he was absolutely brilliant, I thought, for that team. He ran for a buck 20 in round number 1 as well. Against Denver. And like, I think the biggest thing was the 16 touchdowns, where my initial take was almost like, nah, I guess Josh was being nice to him. But it's like, he's the running back. Like, why am I acting like Josh Allen deserves to run for 20 touchdowns? So James Cook made my eighth spot. Now, what this means is we have A-Chain. You now have another guy on your list. I know that means that I don't have, which is very interesting because I'm not sure who it's going to be. There's a couple of names that come to mind, but I almost want to leave it out in the ether. Yeah.
I think I know who it is.
Let's do this next guy, and then then we'll see, okay? At 7 for me, could argue he deserved to be higher, but Packers running back Josh Jacobs. Do you not have Josh Jacobs on your list?
I do. I think I originally had him at 7, and that was one of the tinkerings I did. I bumped him up a spot to 6 for me.
Okay, yeah. Talk to me about Josh Jacobs.
So I think last year was Josh Jacobs clearly his best year as a pro, right? And he's 27 years old. Green Bay used him in the receiving game, the running game, in the red zone, right? Like, he was our guy. A.J. Dillon banged up all last year. He's gone now. He's with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, like, that was kind of like, now we're in the Josh Jacobs window, right? Like, I think for this season, the season after that, and maybe one more, like, he is going to be a dominant force in the NFL. Green Bay is a good team. Green Bay loves to run the football. They're going to do it with Josh Jacobs. And we saw it last year, that offense runs through Josh Jacobs. Jordan Love can't be his best Jordan Love unless the running game's going and the play-action passes are going. They're still very slim at wide receiver. Makes me love Josh Jacobs even more in the receiving game. Like, I just think, like, you know, like, I was looking at the numbers and just like, wow, like, Josh Jacobs is, like, just, like, really good. And he got lost because he was in Vegas with the Raiders and, like, he just, like, wasn't getting the spotlight. Now he's in a big market team with the Green Bay Packers, a team fighting for a Super Bowl, fighting for a division. Like, I just think, like, we're in this Josh Jacobs window, and I wouldn't be shocked if he put up better numbers than he did last year because I think Green Bay is going to be fully healthy this year.
Yeah, I have like more research to do just like team wise before I figure out, you know, awards and things like that. But if you'd said, hey, I'm going to make a Josh Jacobs Offensive Player of the Year case, I'll listen to it. And that's before I get to the Packers, because you hit on the big thing. Josh Jacobs, the receiver last year, was the best version that he's ever been by so far. And people be like, oh, it wasn't his most receiving yards. Stop. He averaged 9.5 yards per reception. I looked this up. So last year, there were 7 running backs who had 1,000 rushing yards and 300 receiving yards. And he was one of the 7. But of those guys, the only player who were in that list of 7 who had more yards per reception was Jahmyr Gibbs, who's one of the most explosive backs in football. Josh Jacobs had his first ever receiving touchdown. And on top of that, continued to be a high carry, efficient runner. 15 rushing touchdowns, 1,300 yards on 300 carries. I thought he was the only player on the offense in the game against Philly that did anything for in the postseason. So a rushing crown under his belt. I have no problem with you having Josh Jacobs higher. Again, I think Josh, and look, I'll give a reference point. Last year finishes as the 3rd overall graded running back on Pro Football Focus. And of the 63 backs they graded in the receiving game, finished as the 3rd overall back. So Josh Jacobs, plenty and plenty of love. 7 for me, 6 for you.
And I think another thing too about Jacobs is like they love to run the football, right?
Yeah.
Like LaFleur, like he ran Aaron Jones.
I thought he ran it a little too much though last year.
Yeah, he did. But like even if he takes some carries back, like the efficiency will be there. Mm-hmm. And like again, I think Green Bay is going to be good this year. So more leads late in games, more Josh Jacobs. He's also tough, Kev. Like, I know he's got injury history, but I feel like even with the Raiders, when they were terrible, it was just like Josh Jacobs banged up. Like, no, Josh Jacobs is going to try to play. Like, he is a tough, tough guy. Met him at the Super Bowl, too. Super nice guy. Very just, like, chill. Just like, dude, like, you're one of my favorite backs in the league. He's like, oh, thanks, yeah, man. Like, he is just – he's big, Kev. Like, I never realized how big this guy was until I saw him. And I'm like, man, like, he bruises people. But my 7th one, because you had Cook 7, right?
I had Cook 8. Jacobs 7. So the guy that Jacob you 7. Have, because so far, I do not know who you have. You had Taylor 9, Achane 8, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who you had 10, and I don't know who you had 7.
All right. So you want me to give you my 7th one? We want to wait. We
want to circle back to it. Give me the player you had at 10.
Bucky Irving. I actually was between Bucky and McCaffrey. But I'm just, like, so scared about McCaffrey.
CMC's not on your list?
No.
Whoa.
No? Honorable mention. Honorable mention. Kev, I think the wheels have fallen off on McCaffrey. Like truly, like, I just think, like,
wow,
he's not going to play a full season. And because of that, will he even get to 1,000 yards? I mean, probably get to 1,000 scrimmage yards. But, like, how many games is he going to miss? Like, I just think he's on the bad side of injury, bad side of age. Like, I don't – and, like, San Francisco this year is just, like, a scary team to me. Like, I'm like, right, but, like, you guys should be good. Like, you just paid Purdy. Like, you have a good defense. You have a great coach. But, like, are you going to be good? Like, I don't really know. And, like, I don't know. Like, I think, too, they're going to be smarter with McCaffrey this year because they feel like, okay, last year he was banged up a lot. The injury history is there. They're not looking to be like, hey, McCaffrey, go out there and win a rushing title. Like, they want to win a Super Bowl. And I feel like what they're going to do is be like, let's cut the carries back until we need them to, right? Like, we're fine with using Garendo. Like, it's okay. Like, these guys stepped in last year, and it's okay. Like, maybe we don't need to use McCaffrey as much as we wanted to. Like, let's save him for later in the season for division matchups when we're trying to win a division or clinch a wild card spot. And I don't think the numbers are going to be there for McCaffrey this year.
Okay. So, I thought maybe our receiver list would be way different. Our running back lists are way different. Let's stick with McCaffrey because then we'll get to Bucky. McCaffrey is 6th for me because Christian McCaffrey, to me, could still be the best running back in football. Odds are against it. I have him 6. But the year before last, he was the best running back in football. And the year before that, he was the best running back in football. And the story of Christian McCaffrey's career, quite frankly, is he's either out there and is one of the 3 best running backs in football, or he's injured. And maybe now we've officially reached the point where he's just going to be injured the rest of his career. And then, yes, it's interesting, right? It's very likely, Chris, that I have not accurately ranked him, right? Like, your rank – no, think about it, though, right? It is more likely that he's not a top 10 back than he's just the 6th running back. Like, he's either going to be top 3 or not in the top 10 in terms of guys – this coming season that you want to have. McCaffrey, to me, though, is still worth that uptick. Here's the other thing I think, where I guess I would push back on not ranking him. I think McCaffrey could still be really effective on a significantly decreased workload. They've talked about lowering his work in the past, and then Shanahan never does it because clearly he just thinks he's such a fantastic football player. In 2022, and I know he played six of the games in Carolina and they threw him the ball an outrageous amount, 108 targets. In 2023, 83 targets. And then you're pairing that with 250 carries a season. I mean, it is so much they've put on his plate, but I still think he is probably pound for pound the best pass catcher at the running back position, and he's an unbelievable touchdown scorer. I could not leave him off my list. I just could not.
I think I'm more crazy for not putting him on my list than you are putting him six. Your case, like, I can't even disagree with it because you're right. Like, the numbers are there, the player's there, the talent is there. Like his history proves it. Just like, again, like, I'm just like, there's so many good backs in the league, and I feel like there's like a young motion of running backs. Like,
yeah, all right, you don't want to take that risk.
Right, right. So, again, like, I wouldn't be shocked if McCaffrey finishes a top five running back this year, but like, I'm concerned about the injury. I'm concerned about the Niners, and that's why I kept him off the list.
He finished fifth on that ESPN poll that kind of, you know, gave us the idea to do it. They also do this thing. So on there, Chris, like, it shows like highest ranking, lowest ranking. And McCaffrey was unranked for some people. His highest was three, which, I don't know how you're
crazy.
Right? It feels really, really high. It's just really, really risky. Okay, we're going to go to Bucky now.
Okay.
Because I have Bucky on my list at fifth.
Wow. Okay.
So you had him at 10. For reference, the ESPN thing didn't rank Bucky Irving. I think he was like first honorable mention. What do you see from Bucky Irving? And then I'll probably just like multiply it by three.
So, one area of concern for Bucky Irving is like Liam Cohen not being there anymore. But I don't really know how much of an impact he had in being like Bucky, right? Like Rashad White coming into the season, they were like, whoa, Rashad White's really good. They got this guy Bucky Irving out of Oregon. He's going to be good. But like, listen, there's going to be some change of pace. And then it was just completely like, we saw it. And we were like, they were on primetime a lot. And we were looking at the numbers on GTD. And it was just like slowly like, okay, why is Bucky's numbers less than Rashad's? And then all of a sudden, it was just like, boom, 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 Bucky's way higher. Here's Rashad. And I think they kind of was like, there you go. This is the guy. He's going to be our lead back. Like, he's getting the bulk of the receiving game. He's going to get the bulk of the running game. Like, he's our guy. Rashad White is out. He's the number two guy. But because of the fact that, like, okay, Rashad White's still lingering there. And, like, last year, like, he wasn't great. But, like, a season before that, he was great. So it makes me wonder, like, okay, are they just going to go full Bucky mode like they should? Or are they going to let Rashad White kind of be like, let's get him in there. Like, let's come at you with two different looks, with two different backs. Also, maybe they'll use both of them in the backfield. He deserved to be in my list. But, like, again, there's just so many good running backs that I'm so high on that, like, I had to put him on the list 10. And that's just the highest you can get for me.
But let me put it to you, like, do you think that I know you didn't rank James Cook, but like if Buffalo had the choice between Bucky or James Cook, who do you think they'd rather?
Bucky.
Yeah, I agree. Bucky Irving was simply incredible last year. Like there's no other way to put it. He was arguably the most efficient pass catching back in the league. 47 receptions on 52 targets. 8.3 yards per reception. The Pro Football Focus grade is as shiny as you could possibly imagine. Again, he finished hilariously second to David Montgomery in receiving grade. He finished finished with the fourth overall best grade. Again, Pro Football Focus is not perfect. I understand I undercut the value by mentioning that Montgomery was the best pass catching back, but it's a point of reference. This is the reality simply is just from Thanksgiving on, Bucky Irving was one of the three or four best running backs in the league. The rushing yards, the workload, the efficiency, it was all there. Right. Really, the only back who finished with and you know, you do a minimum amount of carries, a higher yards per carry than Bucky from Thanksgiving on was Saquon. So to me, he has that do it all perspective. And you and I obviously both, you know, also college guys. Bucky Irving at Oregon looked like this. I just feel like we usually think like, what's, you know, that guy's not going to do that in the NFL. It's Oregon, right?
Yeah.
That's why he went in the fourth round. He literally just looked like the same exact guy on the field for Tampa Bay. So I am incredibly, incredibly high on Bucky Irving because I think Bucky Irving has the potential to be truly like one of the very best running backs in the league.
I agree.
So now I'm a little thrown off because I can't imagine our four. The order will be different, but I have to imagine our four will be the same. But to recap, my top, my 10 through 5, James Conner 10, Jonathan Taylor 9, James Cook 8, Josh Jacobs 7, Christian McCaffrey 6, Bucky Irving 5. You did not have four of those guys on your list. I know A-Chan is on there. Yeah. Oh, no, you had Bucky on there. Excuse me. So you didn't have McCaffrey.
I had Bucky.
You didn't have three of them. Who you just pick one and then we'll go to the, who's one of the guys that is on your list at what spot that I don't have?
Jenty at 7.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm believing the hype on Jenty, man. Like I don't know why, like it never really pans out that way, but like I am just feeling it. Like I'm just like, listen, like the Raiders took him. Tom Brady's in there with them. Like they got Pete Carroll. He loves to run the football. Geno Smith is like a very system-esque quarterback. He could sling it, but like they need a run game. And like, listen, you're gonna waste a top draft pick on a running back when you have tons of other holes. You're gonna use him. And I think they're gonna use Jenty in a lot of different ways, in the receiving game, in the running game. Like, the Raiders running back room was dog, you know what, last year, mm-hmm. right? Like, they were using Amir Abdullah, Alexander Mattison. Like, they were craving for this guy. And, like, they're going to give Jenty every single touch in the red zone, all over the field. They lack wide receivers, too. Like, they have Jacoby Myers, they have Bowers. Besides that, there's really not much there. He's going to get burned in the receiving game. Like, I am very, very high on Jenty this year. Like, very, very high, and we'll see if I have to eat my words, but, like, I'm hyped about the Jenty train this year.
Do you think he is as, like, because, look, I just basically decided I wasn't going to rank the rookie, right?
Okay.
That's really what it came down to. So, like, again, like, imagine a world where you're like, I think Jenty's better than James Conner, and I'm like, you're nuts. Like, no, like, that, I get that, right? I totally get that. I almost feel like it's interesting, but like 7 is probably still a conservative number where
right,
talent wise, he comes in as hyped as Bijan. So like, you know, again, let's say you and I sit down and do this next year. Like if Jenty is what Jenty's supposed to be, he's supposed to be a top five back in the league. That's the reality of it. So I understand it.
Well, that's why I put him 7, too. Like, I originally had him a little higher, and then I was like, you know what? Like, Jacobs, like, he deserves to go ahead of him. Like, Jacobs has proven himself, and he deserves it.
So can I give you my favorite? We may have had this conversation before, you and I. Niners next year, obviously, they want to win a Super Bowl. Remove the money. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch sit down. They say, hey, listen, your choice. Do you guys want McCaffrey, or do you want Ashton Jeanty? Next season only. Who do they want? What do you think they would say?
I think they would say Jenty, honestly.
I mean, obviously, I still think they'd roll the dice with McCaffrey, just the pass-catching ceiling. I don't know how many people would agree with me. I think it would be close.
I agree. Right? It would be very close. I just think the hype and, like, the upside of, like, hey, Jenty, like, he's young. He's a bruiser. Like, imagine him in the San Francisco offense, like,
would you argue that Jenty has a higher floor than you would argue he has a higher floor, right, than McCaffrey?
Yes.
Would you argue he has a higher ceiling or same ceiling?
I think
for just next season, right? Like McCaffrey,
I would give it to McCaffrey just because of the pedigree, okay. And he's done it before.
Okay. Really interesting. Now, who's this mystery man that you have ranked, and I don't even know where ranked?
Number five?
Who?
Kyren Williams?
You're Kyren crazy. You're
Dude, going this Kyren, guy. You're this Kyren guy Kyren is the crazy. Most underrated Whoa. Running back in football. Like, I needed to put him in there, and I was like, where does he go? And I was like, good. Like, number five is perfect. Like, he is the most underrated player running back in the game. Like, five is the perfect spot for him. Like, Kev, like, this guy is nuts. Like, 1,100 yards in 2023. 12, just short of 1,300 yards in 2024. 12 touchdowns in 2023. 14 touchdowns in 2024. Like, this guy is a machine. Like, every single time out there, he's just running the ball. And in 2023, 12 games played, he was still at 1,100 rushing yards and 12 touchdowns. Like, this guy is so good. Wow. And McVay just, like, loves him. Like, everyone's like, oh, McVay loves Puka. McVay loves Cup. Like, no. McVay loves Kyren Williams. And I think, like, and it was like, I was thinking about this in the shower before. Like, it's crazy to say because, like, they had Cup and they had Puka. But, like, this is the best receiving world game they've had with Devontae, with Puka. And people probably be like, well, now they're going to pass the ball more. Like, no. Like, that makes Kyren more valuable now because you don't know what they're going to do on the play action. And he's going to get the carries in the goal line. Like, they love Kyren Williams. And, like, McVay is going to run Kyren Williams until, like, there's nothing left of Kyren Williams. And be like, who else wants him now? Because this guy's just got tons of tread on his tires. Like, I love Kyren Williams.
You're Kyren crazy, man. There's no other way to slice it.
I am.
Listen, he would. I should have mentioned his name for honorable mention. I should have.
That's crazy. You don't have him, man. Wow.
I don't. Here's my thing with Kyren. Like, I feel like he's got a little bit of a case of the fumblies. Like, that worries me a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. McVay, like, when McVay loves you, you're good. Like, you're like, that is like yeah. He's a McVay guy. Like, McVay was like, Cam Akers, like, I'm sick of you. We're putting Kyren Williams in a few years ago. I'm like, whoa, who is this guy? And he, like, wow. Adores Kyren Williams. Like, I think if you asked Sean McVay who your favorite player is on this team, he'd be like, Kyren Williams.
I don't think that at all.
I do.
You think he likes 100%. It more than Puka Nacua?
Yes.
Wow, 100%. You are Kyren crazy, man.
I am. Incredible. I got the Kyren fever this year. I sure do. I love this guy. Like, he's just a touchdown machine. Like, just like, seriously, like, if you bet him every single week this year for a touchdown, you're yeah. making money. Like, he's going for 15-plus touchdowns easily. Like, you're profitable.
I did not see that coming. I don't think he is the level of pass catcher of some of these other guys we've talked about.
He's a Notre Dame guy, too.
I know he is. No, I know wow. he is. I know wow. he is. You're Kyren crazy. I mean, there is no I other am. Way to – I couldn't figure that out. Wow. Okay. Wow. Kyren, I don't think he ended up on this – I'm not using it to justify it. I'm just saying I don't think Kyren ended up on this list either. Oh, my gosh. Ready for this? So they gave 10 guys, right, on the list, and mm-hmm. then they did 5 honorable mentions. He didn't make that list either. He ended the he was in the also rat. Receiving votes category, Kyren Williams.
Rat. Absolutely rat. Sleeping behind the wheel. Like, Kyren Williams. Like, I don't know. Dude, I think it's because I know we're not talking about fantasy, but, like, I've been doing fantasy prep for the last few weeks, and I'm like, dude, like, this guy's a monster. Like, Mr. Underrated Running Back, Kyren Williams.
This is good. There are 3 names, then, that you're going to be so offended, basically, were referenced in front of Kyren Williams. Aaron Jones was in the honorable mention list.
Stop.
Coming in at number 10, Alvin Kamara was on this list. Ugh. I couldn't get there, right?
No.
And then, to me, the most egregious thing from this ESPN list, by the way, a player I mean, look, I looked into these guys, but I never considered for 1 second, and I imagine same for you. Joe Mixon was 9th on that list.
No.
What world are we in?
I'm like one of the biggest Mixon fans, too, there is.
Mixon and up.
Like, it was just like, you know, I saw, like, Warren Sharp, like, tweeted something out, and it was, like, crazy, like, the inefficiency that, like, Joe Mixon actually had last year. So if you look at the numbers, like, him. He had a really good year, but then if you like break it down the way Warren did, it was like, wow, like he was not efficient whatsoever. And like, dude, Nick Chubb is there. Like, that is a split backfield. Mixon's always banged up too. Like, maybe if Chubb didn't saw it, I'd be like, I'm on board with Mixon. But like, I don't even know what to think of Joe Mixon this year.
He was pretty bad after the injury. He started the season really hot. He had 100-plus rushing yards in, I believe it was five of the first six games of the season. But, like, he has some awful games in him. I know the postseason work was good, but, like, Joe Mixon is not better than Bucky Irving. Joe Mixon is not better. I'm sorry. I'm not taking him over Breece Hall, Devon Achane.
Nope.
Like, I couldn't. James, no, I could not get there. I could not get there at all.
It just feels like that's the story of Joe Mixon's career, right? Like, for like 5 weeks to 7 weeks, he's like, this guy's out of the world. And then all of a sudden, it's like, where's Joe Mixon? He's either hurt or he's like taking 17 carries for 33 yards and a touchdown. And you're like, how? Like, you were just running for a buck 30 last week. Now all of a sudden, 17 carries for like 30 yards. Like, what are you doing? So I don't know. It's just it's just the Joe Mixon factor. Like, he's been doing this whole career. I'm not falling for it.
All right. So this does mean at least that we have the same top four.
Yeah. I changed mine, by the way. You said something to me.
Yeah.
And it made me just flip my one and two.
Okay. But you're going to your list is going to bother me. So here, because it's the same four guys, we'll list them out and then we can talk about the head to heads. So, at four, I have Derrick Henry.
Me too.
At three, I have Bijan Robinson.
I have Barkley.
At two, I have Jahmyr Gibbs.
I have Bijan.
And at number one, I have Saquon Barkley.
I have Gibbs.
Okay. Now, you having Saquon at three is so offensive. And obviously, we're going to spend a ton of time on that. But since we both had Derrick Henry four, the ESPN list had him second.
That's respectable, though. I think that's very respectable.
Can I, like, here's, so I imagine you're similar. One of the reasons I don't have him in front of the three is he's just, he's not a pass catcher. Like,
no.
The teams he's on refuse to throw him the football.
Which, like, is crazy because he could be a pass catcher.
I think he could be more effective. They just don't give him the chance.
Nope.
Okay. So that was one of the, like, tie breaks. The other thing with Derrick Henry is I feel as if I have to listen to a lot of Saquon stuff where it's like, Saquon's had a lot of carries last year, or, oh, Saquon in that offensive line, where Derrick Henry just had arguably the best year of his career. And, like, for record, he only ran for 106 less yards than his 2,000-yard season, despite getting 53 less carries. He had arguably the best year of his career, but he is now 31 this season. And also, to me, like, Derrick Henry, the season he had, look, he gets a lot of credit. I think he's a future Hall of Famer. But, like, it's another cap in the feather. Or feather in the cap, excuse me, for Lamar Jackson, and how being a running back next to Lamar, the lanes that open up are just unlike anything else.
Yeah, I agree. I think you hit on it. Like, my biggest reason was like the age, right? Like, he is so good, but like eventually you wear down and you wear down. And like the same thing I said about McCaffrey is like the Ravens and Harbaugh might be like, listen, what's our goal this year? To win a Super Bowl, right? So maybe we give Derrick Henry 5 to 7 less carries a game to make sure he is fresh for a deep playoff run. We let Lamar run it. We let Mitchell get some pop in there. They love Mitchell too if he stays healthy. Like, it just feels like Henry's not going to get that workload. And like, you just said it. Like, he's had two out-of-this-world seasons when he ran for 2,000 yards and last year. Like, how does he even come back to like any of those at 31? He won't. And like, again, he is still going to rush for over 1,100 yards, double-digit touchdowns, easy. But, like, yeah, the age is there, the miles is there. And, like, again, like, someone's got to factor into the, like, to what these teams' goal is. And, like, the Ravens' goal is to win a Super Bowl. And if Derrick Henry's banged up or wore down, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. So, like, let's like, keep him fresh for the Super Bowl run and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, at first, I was like, man, like, five feels, like, disrespectful. Four feels, like, disrespectful for Henry. But, like, it's like it's fair. Like
yeah.
He's 31 years old. He's not going to be the same guy he was. Like eventually he's going to wear and tear, and it is and like we're going to start seeing like, and it's crazy to say, like the downfall of Derrick Henry, but like the downfall of Derrick Henry is like what most running backs like are a good season. It's just like Derrick Henry's been this good his whole career, but like he is not going to keep that up.
Yeah, again, it sounds like we're talking really negatively around Henry. It's because we're now splitting hairs between the four best guys in football at the running back Agreed. Position. And Chris and I, again, we're seeing it similarly. We're just kind of justifying why he is fourth instead of third, or instead of second, and certainly instead of first. Now, the Saquon thing is honestly going to, you know, you're going to try and flip this on me as an Eagle fan, right? I'm going to, like, he ran for 2,000 yards. So you have to make the case to me, so I understand where you're coming from, that Saquon Barkley, I mean, I don't understand how he's not one. He's third for you. So explain this to me.
When it's all said and done, after Saquon Barkley's career, will he have a better season than he did last year? And I know it was, like, historic, so it's, like, very hard to say. But, like, really? No. Right?
No, that's fine.
I think Bijan and Gibbs have the ability to have a season like Saquon had.
Ah, you're understanding.
They're younger.
2,000 yards.
Right, but they can get it. They can get it. They can get it. I do think one of those guys, if not both of them, have the ability to do what Saquon did last year because they are that good. So, like, to me, it's like, okay, we're ranking them next year. Like, Saquon just coming off his best year, right? Like, mm-hmm. no doubt about it. So what is he going to do for an encore, right? And that's where I kind of like, it's like I don't want to slander him because he's so good and he's going to have a great year. And if you look back and say like, hey, look at this, Saquon was number one running back again this year, I'd be like, yeah, like I'm not surprised about that. Like these, like we're picking hairs from these three guys, but I just think the fact that like he is coming off his best season and like a historic season, it just feels like in sports. I mean, besides really Aaron Judge. Do we ever see like a guy like kind of like be like, hey, you know, he's up there again. And I also think the Eagles are just going to be like they want to be more of a complete, like, because when we win a Super Bowl, right? It's like, well, like what do we do? Right. I think the one thing the Eagles can do better is like be a more complete football team and let Hurts throw the ball more, mm-hmm. use your receivers outside more. And maybe that means a little bit less of Saquon Barkley. And that's not like a slight on the Eagles. Like they should let Hurts throw the ball a little more. They should trust Devontae Smith, Goddard and AJ Brown more. So maybe they become more of a complete football team and be like, hey, listen, like the running, you know, it's great and all, but like let's let Hurts sling the ball more, right? He proved himself in the Super Bowl. Like maybe that's how we take the next step to repeat, because you can't do the same thing you did last year when you're a champion, because every team is ready for it, right? Every team now is like, we're ready for Barkley. And again, though, it isn't one thing to say you're ready for someone, it's another thing to be like, can you stop him? So I do think the Eagles might be like, how do we kind of take another step to repeat so we throw the football more, which means a little bit less of Saquon Barkley?
So Saquon not having as good of a statistical season. Sure. If Saquon runs for 500 fewer yards, that would still be more than Bijan and Gibbs ran for last season. I also think that like Saquon running the ball less is a positive for Philadelphia, just like to.
For sure.
Because you want him to stay fresher. I also think Saquon Barkley had a season last year that I don't want to – I think it's wrong to think anyone else would have had. Saquon is coming off – Saquon Barkley was very close to the greatest season in the history of the running back position. He may have had it, by the way, based on the fact that they won the Super Bowl, the offensive player of the year. If the Eagles just play Week 18, and that was the right decision not to, but if they do play Week 18, he probably gets there. The sacrifice right. of that, though, was that he ran for 500 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns in the postseason, where he was obviously out of this world incredible. And the thing for me with Saquon Barkley that, for me, makes him number one with a bullet is I want a home run hitter at the running back position. It's why I considered Breece Hall. It's why I understand your Devon Achane ranking. Saquon Barkley was not hitting home runs. He was hitting grand slams. Saquon Barkley last year had 4 runs against the Rams between the two games for 50 or more yards. Derrick Henry had three all season. Gibbs had one. Bijan had one. Barkley had nine throughout the regular season and postseason, and I believe he had six of them in the regular season. Grand slams. And he is the grand slam hitter. Like, Henry at his absolute peak, 100%. Henry's not, I don't think, for me, at that moment anymore.
I agree.
I haven't seen anyone where it's like, hey, listen, that's going to be a run for 20. Yeah, Saquon Barkley, see you later. I just took it 70 to the house. That's where it just completely changes the game. Again, he absolutely should regress. I understand having some hesitations in fantasy football, but for the Philadelphia Eagles, there is absolutely no running back that you would rather, I think, put behind that offensive line than Saquon Barkley.
That's fair. These three guys at the top, like, they could really just be like 1A, 1B, 1C, right? Mm-hmm. If we were at the end of the year and we said any of those combinations of Barkley, Gibbs, and Bijan, if they finished 1, 2, and 3, would you be surprised, right? Like, no.
Yeah.
Not really. Like, no. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Saquon was one or Gibbs was one or Bijan was one. Like, those are the three best backs in the league. So it'll be interesting to see, though. He's still going to be great. The touchdowns, though, like, it's no slight on him. Like, they love the tush push. Like, that's always going to take touchdowns away from him. I'm like, that's not his fault.
But that's very fantasy to me. Do you know what I mean? Well,
from a statistical standpoint, like, you know, I do think that Bijan and Gibbs, just like, if you're looking at the statistics, like, have a better chance to score more touchdowns.
I see that. But I also think, like, if I put Gibbs on the Eagles, he might finish with less than 10 touchdowns. Because Gibbs scored a lot of touchdowns from the 1 or 2 yard line.
Right. 100%. And that's why it's like, it's not really Saquon's fault. It's the fact that the Eagles have a great play intact to score from the 1 yard line. They don't really need to use him. And that's not his fault. And, you know, he makes up for it with his home run hits. But, like, again, like, if you told me at the end of the year Saquon finished one, I wouldn't be like, whoa, that's a surprise. You'd be like, yeah, it makes sense. He's that good.
So let's do this. Let's do Gibbs versus Bijan, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll go to the wide receivers. I landed on Gibbs in front of Bijan as well, but you ended up with Gibbs number one overall. So what was the divider for you when it came to Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, you thought I was Kyren crazy. Like, I'm Gibbs crazy, man. Like, I love this guy. Like, he can run, he can catch, he can block. Like, he just does it all. And, like, eventually, Detroit's got to realize, like, great, David Montgomery is a good running back. He is an above-average running back. He would probably start on almost every other team if they needed a running back. But, like, they have Jahmyr Gibbs. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you got to be like, listen, Monty, you're a veteran. You know, you've helped us. You still have a role here. But, like, Gibbs needs to be on the field for about 80% of the offensive snaps. Like, he is just that good. He is a playmaker. He can change the game. Like, I know he doesn't have the home run numbers like Saquon has, but, like, with the full workload, like, he can. And we saw him just, like, absolutely dominate when Montgomery was out and it was Gibbs, 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 Gibbs. We saw that. And I think his ceiling is just, like, we haven't even seen the best version of Jahmyr Gibbs yet. And, like, hopefully it's this season. It's coming. Whether it's not this season, it's going to be next season. But, like, maybe, just maybe, the reason why they used Montgomery so much was Ben Johnson. Like, he is – that guy's crazy, dude. Like, mm-hmm. He'll be like, listen, game on the line, Jared Goff. Nah, Jameson Williams. Whoa, let's throw a ball. So, like, maybe that was, like, Ben Johnson. And we, like, maybe think about that even more. It was, like, leading up to the draft, they had DeAndre Swift. They paid him a bunch of money a year ago. They're like, nah, let's get Jenty, right? It's just like Ben Johnson just like wants to use every single running back he has. Mm-hmm. So like maybe with him out, Detroit would be like, we know we have this absolute stud in Jahmyr Gibbs. He needs to be the guy. And like, I think his ceiling is like, because he hasn't hit his ceiling yet, I think between the three of those guys, Bijan, Saquon, and Gibbs, like he has the highest ceiling.
Yeah, I think Gibbs has a super high ceiling. I think him versus Bijan is kind of simple. They entered the league at the same time. They pretty much played the same amount of games. Gibbs is at 5.5 yards per carry. Bijan's at 4.7. 26 rushing touchdowns for Gibbs, 18 for Bijan. Now, again, the Lions situation better than the Falcons. fair, right? That offensive line for Detroit's been incredible. So what I would say is jury's not out, right? Could Bijan, could I feel differently at the end of this season? I could, but I think Bijan not getting the full workload in Atlanta has always been weird. But I maybe there's something going on, right? Maybe they we don't trust him, whatever it might be. Like the Detroit part of it, we know what's going on. They just like David Montgomery too much. And I just think Jahmyr Gibbs is a special player. Like I said, I had him too. But again, I had Bijan 3. And I think that from a straight fantasy perspective, those guys absolutely have a chance to be the number one overall running back. I just think from a talent perspective, I think Saquon Barkley is one of the most talented running backs the league has ever seen.
I agree.
And, you know, that's ultimately what that boiled down to. So
let's one thing. Gibbs had 517 receiving yards last year.
Yeah.
Do you think there is any world where he could ever get to close to, like, closer to 1,000? Like, can he be, like, 1,500 rushing yards and, like, 850 receiving?
I don't, just because it's so gaudy. But also, like, we are now entering into this weird range of Lions football where we all think Ben Johnson's great. And now Ben Johnson leaving comes at the same time as they lose the left and right guard in Ragnow and Zietler, right? And now all of a sudden, like, what if after 5 weeks, Chris, we're like, yeah, Jared Goff's the quarterback. We should have known this was going to be bad. Like, now maybe that'll help more checkdowns, but, like, the Lions are a very fascinating team where there's risk built into Detroit in a way that, like, I almost wasn't expecting. Now, I think there's upside for the Lions as we talk about the football team too, because their guard replacements look actually somewhat encouraging. Like the coordinators they've brought in, you could be excited about, right? They don't have to be downgrades. So I think they're going to be a really fascinating team. Let me just read the list again. Chris, I'll ask you to read yours first to the people to let them know what that top 10 looked like.
All right, so starting at 10, Bucky Irving, 9, Jonathan Taylor, 8, Devon Achane, 7, Ashton Jeanty, 6, Josh Jacobs, 5, Kyren Williams, 4, Derrick Henry, 3, Saquon Barkley, 2, Bijan Robinson, 1, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Couple of disagreements for Chris and I. I had Jonathan Taylor at 9 as well, and I had Derrick Henry at 4. Those we were absolutely seeing eye to eye. Nothing else was the same on these lists. James Conner at 10, Jonathan Taylor at 9, James Cook at 8, Josh Jacobs 7, Christian McCaffrey 6, Bucky Irving 5, 4 Derrick Henry, 3 Bijan, 2 Jahmyr Gibbs, and to me, number 1, the undisputed pound-for-pound best running back in football, despite the fact that Chris has him 3rd, Saquon Barkley. We're going to do a quick podcast break. Get right back here and rank some wide receivers.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, back right here on the Kevin Walsh Show. Kevin Walsh, Chris Koski, ranking running backs, ranking wide receivers. Chris and I agree that the wide receiver rankings were a little more difficult than the running back rankings. Yet we ended up with a far different running back rankings than I was expecting. So
I wonder if the receivers will be similar or like we're going to be like so off.
I think we're going to be way off. I think we're going to be way off. I have three honorable mentions.
Okay.
Garrett Wilson.
Wow. On my list.
Yeah.
This is a Jets guy that I have to back.
I don't mind it.
And you're going to laugh. Like, where I have him, I was going to have him, like, actually, like, lower. And then I was like, no. Like,
if
like
you the Kyren the Williams talent, effect. Yeah. Garrett Wilson was an honorable mention for me. All right. You know what? Let's just get right into it. How high is Garrett Wilson on this list? I did not expect to do this.
Six. I almost had him at 10, and then I was like, dude, like, this guy's played with the most rat quarterbacks you could imagine.
He played with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, like a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. And all he's done was 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards, and 1,000 yards in his first three seasons. Like, now he's playing with his college quarterback in Justin Fields. Like, okay, career high was 1,104 yards. He'll top that this year. Career high last year, 7 touchdowns. I think he'll get at least 7, if not a little bit more. Like, he is just so good. I'm like, it's like the reverse of Breece Hall, right? Like, okay, like, I'm a Jet fan. I watch a lot of Jets games. Like, I see the talent in Breece Hall, but, like, I also see where the concern is. Like, I see zero concern in Garrett Wilson. Like, this guy is just, like, out there every single day. Doesn't matter how happy he is, how mad he is, putting up numbers, getting receptions, getting touchdowns, insane hands, and now he's probably playing with, like, his, like, most, like, compatible quarterback. Like, yes. Like, I'm all aboard the Garrett Wilson train. Like, this is, like, bias aside, like, whatever, you can call me a homer. Like, I didn't have Breece Hall on my list.
Yeah.
But, like, Garrett Wilson's on my list. Like, when Yarnell tried to tell me that one time that Khalil Shakir was better than Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, that was gross.
I was like, what are you talking about? It's not even close. They're not even in the same breath, pedigree, whatever. Like, two different countries. So I'm very high on the Garrett Wilson trade this year.
Garrett Wilson season long props, 950.5 in terms of the receiving yards. Four and a half receiving touchdowns.
So, like, how, like, that is a crazy number to me. Like, run out there and bet it right now. Like, just, you have to do it. Like, he's had 1,000 yards every single season of his career. And one of those seasons was a revolving door of, like, Tyrod Taylor, Zach Wilson for most of the season, Aaron Rodgers for 2 snaps, and he still got 1,000 yards. Like, to me, that's like,
it's a,
like,
fair point.
Hammer that bet, 950. Like, the touchdown number, it's a little dicey because, you know, they'll probably run the ball a little bit more in the red zone, but the 950 receiving yards, like, there's no one to compete for receptions there. Like, it's Josh Reynolds, it's Malachi Corley, it's Alan Lazard, and it's and then they got Tyler Johnson too. Like, there's no one there to compete. Like, he is the guy.
Sell me something, not bad. Honestly, that's not bad.
Honestly.
Not bad. Because he also, look, the Rodgers situation, you know, I kind of threw it out there, but it wasn't a good situation.
He was the number two receiver with Rodgers.
Yeah, the whole thing got messed up.
No one for 1,000 yards. It's crazy. Yeah.
Look, it's why I put him in the honorable mention list. Because we know the talent is there, okay?
You're going to be mad. Because I know you love someone, and I have him over that person. You're going to rip me.
That better be about something different. I don't know. That better not be what I think it's about.
I have him one spot above your guy.
We're going to have this is going to turn ugly. Next honorable mention, Drake London.
Not on my list.
Really good, though. Like, getting there. Finished way higher last year in terms of receiving yards than I realized. He was fourth overall.
No, he had a phenomenal year last year.
100 receptions, 9 touchdowns. This was a guy that went 8th overall. He was supposed to break out. Like, he went in front of Garrett Wilson. This is a guy that's supposed to be this good. He had a very, very good season. I feel like I was almost just like a, I need one more year kind of guy. And I want to get out in front of this. That's going to sound ridiculous because of one of the guys that made my list. But listen, it is what it is. Drake London is right there. He is right there, but not on your list either?
Nope.
Okay. My last honorable mention, and I'm like, there's a part of me that feels like this is, like, if you ask me in a week if this stays true, Like, I might put this guy 5, but it's Malik Nabers.
Oh, my God. Can I say it? Because you just, I have him 5.
Like, I, here's the thing.
That's crazy.
Not on my list, and I understand. Because here's what I'll say, Chris, all right? Again, not fantasy rankings. He should put up, I just, here, you want, I entered a best ball league last night. I was given the 4th pick, and I almost took Nabers. Like, in a, like, the numbers might be outrageous.
Like, at the end of the season, if you look back, and, like, Malik Nabers was, like, the leading receiver, would you be surprised?
Not at all.
I wouldn't. I would
not,
like,
be surprised at all.
Like, talent-wise, like, it's just, like, it's so good. And, like, again, not, like, the fantasy aspect, but, like, I'm talking about, like, also, like, betting, right, because we love to bet here.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, man, like, I was betting him for the, like, the whole half of the rest of the season. And I'm like, when's he going to screw me? And he didn't. Like, he just got there with, like, atrocious quarterback play. And now, like, it's crazy to say, but he's actually got, like, decent quarterback play.
It should be better. Quarterback.
Yes. Like, I'm very high on Malik Nabers. Like, but, like, another guy that the Giants are going to be like, feed him the ball, feed him the ball, feed him the ball. We don't care that you know it's coming. Try to stop him. You can't, and we're going to keep doing it.
Again, it felt wrong to leave him out. It really did.
Wow.
Can I tell you, this is
a list over those, over him.
This is a Nabers thing that, that is, I view as a, again, from a fantasy perspective, positive. Overall perspective, negative. Ja'Marr Chase last year, triple crown, right? 17 games, 175 targets. Third was Drake London at 158. Nabers in 15 games had 170 targets. Like, again, fantasy, that's money sign, green light, eyeball, awesome. That is also just ridiculous. That's so, like, a rookie to have to carry that workload, and I get it is impressive, but, like, of course his numbers look good. Ja'Marr Chase was the only guy targeted more than him, and I know he made good on some of those numbers, but, like, I just, there was something about it that made me hesitate. Because there was also a stretch of the season, Chris, where, like, he had some pop games, right? The crazy Colts game, the 171 and 2. But also, like, far more often than not, he wasn't cracking, like, 80 yards. He last season only had, and I think, 4 games of 80-plus yards. Like, despite the fact that he averaged 80 yards a game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it threw me off a little bit.
My reasoning is just, like, I think whoever the Giants, like, it's probably going to be Russ, right? But for how long? But, like, any of those three guys between Russ, Jameis, and Dart, they roll out there, like, are going to sling the football, and they're going to throw it to Nabers. And like I said, like, you just said it, like, 171 targets. Like, they don't care that you know it's going to him. Try to stop him. You can't. Like, and, like, the upgrade of the quarterback position, like, I know this is, like, Russell Wilson and Jameis and Dart, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
But, like, dude, last year he was playing with Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke. Like, this is a crazy upgrade, and I think the number's going to be there even more for him this year.
All right, so we might as well just get this out of the way then. Because based on me not having Malik Nabers, there's a ranking then that is just totally nuts.
Yes.
I don't know if he's also on your list, but I have Brian Thomas Jr. 7th.
He's on my list. I have him 9th.
Brian Thomas Jr. last year lost Trevor Lawrence for the season and statistically was the 2nd best wide receiver in football. Like, that should not be possible. The 5 games after the Trevor was officially done, 41 catches, 517 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had 100 yards in 3 of those games. 86 was the lowest. So I just mentioned the Nabers thing. He had more 80-yard games in the 5 games after the Trevor injury than Nabers had the whole season. He had the 2nd most receiving yards and 2nd most receptions while being tied for 5th in touchdowns. Again, without the actual quarterback that he was supposed to be playing with. He was playing with Mac Jones that entire stretch of football, and it was just consistently unbelievable. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is special. I think Nabers might be as well. I found myself hesitating more with Malik and basically like Brian Thomas. Like, I don't know for sure because now you're stressing me out. Well, no, because you already told me you have Neighbors 5. Like, I thought our top six might be the same guys, different order. Like, no. I have Thomas Jr. at 7. I couldn't go higher than that, but I felt good about him at 7.
Yeah, so, like, that's kind of my thought with him, too, was, like, he was out of this world last year. But, like, you know, he was, like, clearly the only option last year. So, like, now with Travis Hunter there, will the numbers dip a little bit? Probably, like, ETN, is he doing something? They run the ball, like just Jacksonville with Liam Coleman, try to be like more of like a complete football team to try to win some games. Yeah. So like, I do think like the Thomas Neighbors debate is like where I could see Thomas's numbers dipping. I could see Neighbors's numbers going higher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like why I was like, you know what? Like I thought like, do I put him on? Why not? I was like, he was just so good last year. The talent is there. Like he has to be on the list. And that's why I put him 9.
Yeah, he had 10 games of 80-plus yards last year.
He's insane.
He finished like, third in receiving yards.
I think when we're different on this is, like, if you were, like, Kev, you're a GM, right? It's Thomas or Neighbors. You pick one. You're taking Thomas. I'm taking Neighbors.
And I know I'm in the minority. And, by the way, that it's an insane feeling to have for a guy who went 5th last year or 6th and Thomas who went 23rd. Also, again, like, the LSU thing is just totally ridiculous. Like, let's put it like this, Chris. There's a world that we do this list at the end of next season and the 4 best receivers in football are all from LSU.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts. It's nuts. Okay. Now, this is going to get weird. Because you have 2 guys already on your list that I don't have, and receivers are crazy. So, at 10 for me, but I think it's the same guy you have at 10. I think. Mike Evans?
Yo, I could not, consistent.
Man. Yeah, I couldn't leave 11 him off the
straight,
list.
11 years in the league, 1,000 yards every year. Like, just book him for 1,000. Like, he deserves to be there. Like, he's Mr. Reliable.
It's really that simple. Like I said, you know, for me, I was putting this list together and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl next season. Like, there's guys that have these higher ceilings, no doubt about it, right? Like, Chris has Neighbors 5th, and I get that. Garrett Wilson in front of Mike Evans. Garrett's a tough rank, right? Mike Evans is just, he's 1,000 yards. And Mike Evans also has played with way different quarterbacks. Not like, Jameis is insane. Tom Brady, like, is a completely different guy than Jameis Winston. I know they were throwing the ball a ton, but like, what Tom Brady asked. Now with Baker Mayfield, like, he's consistently always been the guy. I thought he really deserved a 10th spot. I really believe that. Like, I understand, like, there's no chance Mike Evans is the best receiver in football next season. Where, like, Malik Neighbors, I get it, like, maybe. Yeah. But I still thought Mike Evans at 10 was worth it. A similar, like, I don't know if you're going to have this guy next. And if you don't, I get it. But his ceiling is still, to me, too high. I think he's one of the greatest receivers in the history of football. It's Tyreek Hill.
You see, I left him off. I did.
I get it.
And I couldn't. And, like, right before the pod, I debated, do I go Hill or do I go Evans? As my 10, mm-hmm. and I stuck with Evans, and I just, like, I mean, like, Tyreek Hill is great, but, like, again, like, I think we're going to start seeing the downfall of Tyreek Hill. Like, when we saw it last year, and I know there was so much injury and everything going on with the Dolphins, but, like,
mm-hmm.
I just, like, how long can you just be, like, hey, I'm just going to beat you with my speed, right? Like, eventually, like, your speed wears down. You're 31 years old. And, like, Mike Evans is also 31 years old. But, like, Mike Evans isn't a speed threat. Mike Evans is a big body receiver who could beat you off the line, catch the ball in the red zone. And, like, Tyreek Hill, like, honorable mention for me. Like, 11, like, had to be, like, debated it, thought about it, and just ultimately, like, I think we're starting to see the Tyreek Hill regression.
I think it's very possible, right? I think it could – I may have missed the mark on this, right? The 2 seasons prior, though, again, like, leaving Patrick Mahomes, 1,700 yards in both seasons, 20 total touchdowns in the receiving game. I think there was a rushing touchdown in there somewhere. Finishes the number 1 graded receiver on Pro Football Focus each of the first 2 years. Like, he is still so special to me. Like, you know how I'm going to make this comparison. It's not going to be perfect. But people do their, like, all-time starting NBA fives. And a lot of times Steph gets picked over Magic because it just, like, fits perfectly, right? like the spacing, the shooting. We have enough defense, even if Magic is like better. It's like, hey, pick your three best wide receiver set. Like, I'm probably going to put Tyreek Hill on the field because he's just that. Like, he's not better than Antonio Brown, I don't think. Or, you know, Terrell Owens. But, like, Tyreek Hill is just the most uniquely special guy. And I'm not sure it's gone yet. Like I said, we talked about the McCaffrey. He's very similar to McCaffrey.
Right.
You know, I had to rank him. I understand not ranking him, though.
But I understand you ranking him. Like, he deserves, like, we're talking about Mike Evans, just, like, consistent, deserves to be there. Like,
yeah.
Tyreek probably does deserve to be there, too.
All right, I had Nico Collins at 8.
I have him at 8, too.
Nico Collins, again, this is not, so he's finished top 3 on Pro Football Focus each of the last 2 seasons. Only player. Here's the list of guys who have finished top 10 each of the last 2. Nico, Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and A.J. Brown. That's the list. Also, Pro Football Focus doesn't really like Ja'Marr Chase very much for some reason. But, like, Nico Collins is one of those guys, you weren't expecting it coming out of college, and his first 2 seasons were pretty, you know, whatever. He's just been awesome. Absolutely awesome. The last 2 years with CJ Stroud.
You talk about, like, when you're talking about Barr, you talk about a guy that can, like, hit a grand slam. Like, that's that's Nico Collins, right? Like, 80-yard bomb, like, he's there. I'm like, he's always banged up, but, like, when he's not banged up, it's just like, yeah, no, he's probably going to go for 100 yards easy. And he, like, will have that, like, in the first half. Like, he's just so good. His route running, his ball speed down the field, like, can burn you one-on-one, can absolutely make you miss as a defender. Like, he's legit. He is a legit wide receiver, Nico Collins.
Yeah, it really is that simple. We don't have to spend too much more time on it. Like I said, I had Brian Thomas Jr. at 7. So now we get to the top 6, where
I had 7?
Well, so here's what I'm trying to figure out, right?
So you're going to hate me for 7. I know you are.
No, I am, because you're going to really upset me. But I'm trying to figure out something. I have... So the first... I have Mike Evans. You have Mike Evans. I have Nico Collins. You have Nico Collins. I did not have Neighbors, and I did not have Wilson. You had those guys.
Right.
Would you imagine the 6 remaining guys we have?
The same?
Like, not in the same order, but, like, we have the 6 guys left?
I think you have someone that I don't have. And maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. But, like, I don't know if you have a player on your team that you feel like should be on this list.
So you have A.J. Brown 7 is what you're telling me.
No, I don't have A.J. Brown. I don't have him on my list at all.
You don't have A.J. Brown on your list?
No.
No, dude, come on.
No.
Chris,
no.
Come on.
No, I don't. I don't. Come and on, actually, dude. Kevin, remember I told you I had an Eagles question for you?
Yeah. I do remember you said that. I thought it was actually going to be about Saquon. I kind of forgot. No, go ahead.
This is the perfect time for it. Do you think, because I think it's coming, does Devontae Smith take over the clear number one wide receiver role for the Philadelphia Eagles? I think it's this year.
You have Devontae Smith at 7?
No, I don't have either of them.
Okay.
Because, like, I'm unsure. But, like, that's why I left A.J. Brown off my list, is because I feel like, when we look back, and if we do this next year, we're going to look and be like, Devontae Smith is the clear number one receiver on the Eagles now. I think it's coming, Kev. I really think it is.
I think you are totally crazy. I think you are nuts.
You want to know who my 7 is?
No, hold on a second, because I need to tell you where I have A.J. Brown. And you're going to think I'm crazy. I have A.J. Brown 3rd.
That's crazy. That's truly crazy.
But it's not. So you yesterday, we were texting. Again, like, Chris and I are, like, loosely texting because we don't want to spoil the podcast. And you referenced this idea of the big 3, right? And I imagine Lamb is the 3rd guy in the big 3. CeeDee Lamb is not better than A.J. Brown.
Yes, he is.
But the thing is, like, he's not. A.J. Brown had more 100-yard games than CeeDee Lamb last year, despite playing in 2 fewer games. And the whole idea was the Eagles' offense didn't throw the football. He had 55 less targets than him last year.
The Cowboys had no quarterback play. Like, you're telling me, you're a GM, right? All right, You could have Lamb or you could have AJ Brown. You're picking AJ Brown.
Absolutely.
No, that dude, like CeeDee Lamb, like to me is like, and I don't want to knock AJ Brown because I do kind of feel like maybe I'm a little off not even having him on the list because
you have AJ Brown off the list and you have Garrett Wilson on the list. That's insane. Yeah. That's insane.
I when I did my list, I told you it was like vibes and like who I think the better prospects, the better talent, the better receivers are who can be there at the top next year. And to me, Garrett Wilson has that. AJ Brown, like I said, like I think, like if you had told me at the end of the year, like I think you're gonna think I'm crazy, AJ Brown didn't go for 1,000 yards, I'd be like, no, I believe that. Like Devontae Smith was probably the number one receiver, and like if you're like, oh yeah, he was. Devontae Smith went for like 1,100 receiving yards. Like, you know, that makes it. Like I am waiting and I'm waiting, and I really think this is the year that like Devontae just like takes over and is the number one receiver for the Eagles. Like that is my hot take.
I mean, it's the hottest take. I really like Devonta Smith. I think he's a great football player. I do. But CeeDee Lamb, yards per catch, is like violently behind A.J. Brown. Here's what CeeDee Lamb is the best at, or tied for the best at. Like 140-yard games. Like last 2 years, it's like him and Chase. And one of those guys put up a triple crown. So he is an absolute monster at those 120, 130-yard games. He is nowhere near as consistent as A.J. Brown. He's nowhere near the same touchdown guy as A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown has also scored in multiple Super Bowls, and I know we don't usually do this with receivers, but it's a fact and it's a thing. And like it used to be, it's like, oh, that's why Kelsey's so good, so we can do it here. And again, I'm going to bring this up because I've used it as, you know, a reference. A.J. Brown, since his second season, his finishes of the wide receiver position on Pro Football Focus, second, fifth, sixth, ninth, fourth. He has never not been a top 10 receiver. And now we have him outside your top 10. That is crazy.
I feel a little crazy not having him on the list now. But if I did have him on the list, he wouldn't be three. Like I
never thought he'd be three for you. I never thought he wouldn't be on the list.
I think CeeDee Lamb is going to have his best season yet this year.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. He and Dak are now saying now that they're both not begging for contracts, they're going to actually work out and try.
And they also have a legit wide receiver opposite side of him that's going to make defenders be like, yeah, maybe we can't double team CeeDee Lamb. Like,
because I have Lamb six, by the way.
Wow. Okay.
I think he has a super, super high ceiling. His floor bugs me a little bit more than some other guys. I thought the stuff in Dallas last year was weird. He had a game against Philly last year. He had 6 catches on 10 targets for 21 yards. Like, there were just games he was not showing up in, it felt like.
I think that if we're talking floor, like, A.J. Brown has, like, the better floor. Like, it's like, okay, like, who like, if you were looking at the season and it was, like, the floor, it's like, okay, I think A.J. Brown's floor is better. But the ceiling, to me, is, like, Lamb is, like, 2 tiers up of what A.J. Brown's ceiling would be.
And I get that. Lamb had a 1,700-yard season. But also, some of that does have to do with volume. Like, that is a the efficiency factor we talk about, right? Like,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Lamb won the Triple Crown this year, man. Like, I think that's how good of a season he's going to have this year.
Yeah, you're all the way in on CeeDee's Lamb. Okay.
I am.
Who in the world is your seventh wide receiver?
Puka Nacua.
So I have Puka 5.
I thought you'd have him a lot higher, honestly.
So the reason I don't have Puka higher is he has injury concerns in a way that I didn't want to ignore. Puka Nacua wasn't a healthy player going back to BYU. You know that. So look, I think he is an unbelievable. The production that he has put up since entering this league is ridiculous. He doesn't score touchdowns as often as you'd like.
No. And I think that's going to be even more this year because Devontae Adams is going to get every single red zone target.
I was listening to a podcast that I really respect fantasy football wise. You know what I mean? And they were like, ooh, what if Puka starts to get the touchdowns? And I'm like, brother, you thought Kupp was bad? Devontae's whole gimmick is touchdowns. Like, so I'm not sure about that, but I think Puka's a special player.
I agree.
It's been going on since day one. Look, Stafford has a thing, by the way. Like, his number one guys put up numbers in a way that, like, doesn't get talked about enough. But Puka Nacua for me was five. I don't mind you having seven, though. He has injury concerns. Who else have we talked about where that's a thing? Nico Collins, maybe? Like
Nico, yeah.
Tyreek-ish? Like, no, I think
Evans,
that's a totally...
I would say Evans. He's always good to miss work for games this season. But
no,
like,
that's fair.
He makes up for it because he puts up double stats in one game. And it's like, wow, did he even really miss a game?
Yeah. I had Puka fifth. I don't mind you having him seventh.
Now I know there's someone I have in my top four that you probably didn't even think about. And I'm like, who's a crazy one?
I can't figure out what's going on here. Like, what am I missing? Because our one and two are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do a quick recap of where we are right now in wide receiver island. Let's go one through five we can do safely. I have Mike Evans, 10 to 5. Mike, Tyreek Hill, Nico Collins, Brian Thomas Jr., CeeDee Lamb, and then Puka Nacua. I have it fifth. What is your 10 through 5?
Mike Evans, 10. Brian Thomas Jr., 9. Nico, 8. Puka, 7. Garrett Wilson, 6. Neighbors, 5.
Okay, and there are two guys that are obviously on your list, right? Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase are obviously on the... I don't know anymore with you. I would...
No, I have... So, like...
Because I'm wondering, like, if I'm missing someone... And, like, I just, like, I'm going to get blame pied here for missing something obvious.
So, yes, I have Chase and Jefferson. Chase 1, Jefferson 2. Quick thing on that. When I ask you how we rank this, it's like, hey, if you're starting a team or just, like, stats-wise, like, Chase, like, I am big on the Bengals this year. I think they're going to have a monster year. I love Joe Burrow, so Chase number 1. Jefferson, we talk about it, like, behind the scenes. Like, what's JJ going to be? But, like... Jefferson, like, it's just one of those guys. Like, we're talking about Garrett Wilson. We're talking about Neighbors. Like, a guy where it's like, you could have anyone throwing him the football. He's that good. If you were asking me who the best wide receiver is skill-wise, like, I'll take Jefferson over.
I agree. That's why I put Jefferson. That's what I got.
Three for me is Lamb. Four, this is where I think you're going to think I'm crazy.
Hold on a second.
I didn't think that.
Time out. All right. Time out. Okay. Because I now am really confused as to what is happening here. Because in your list, right, I have AJ at 3, you have CD at 3,
mm-hmm.
Puka. We'll do the Jefferson Chase head-to-head in a minute. What could this be? All right.
Mute me.
Do you have Amon-Ra St. Brown on your list?
Yes.
Okay, so do I. I have Amon-Ra 4. What number do you have?
That's what I have him at.
Okay.
Whoa, we're big Amon-Ra guys. I didn't think you were gonna have him at 4.
No, I have him at 4 as well. Oh, so maybe I was just I think my math got thrown off because I was waiting for who's not there, but it's AJ Brown who's not there. My math got thrown off. Okay.
That's where I thought. I was like, man, maybe he doesn't even have Amon-Ra.
I was like, there was no way. Okay. Yeah, you wanna make the Amon-Ra case?
Dude, I mean, everyone calls him a slot merchant. Who cares? Like, the guy's a monster, man.
Yeah.
Like, just like, look at this. 912 yards in 17 games his first year. 5 touchdowns. 2023, just over 1,100 receiving yards. 6 touchdowns. 1,500 last year, 10 touchdowns. 1,200 last year, 12 touchdowns. He's going to get you double-digit touchdowns, no doubt about it. And he's going to get you anywhere from, like, 12 to 1,500 receiving yards. Again, another guy... relatively young, like, he's put up monster numbers. I could see him putting up the best career of his year this year, too.
Yeah, I think Amon-Ra is just unbelievably solid. For 3 straight years now, it's been 1,100-plus yards. The touchdowns have been there. The catches have been there. You know, like, again, it's not a Bible, but it's, you know, he, the last 3 years on PFF, 2nd, 4th, 5th. Like, here's the weird part of Amon-Ra. To me, he's like a lock to be one of the 5 best receivers. He has no chance to be the best receiver.
No.
Like, but he is that solid. He's just so unbelievably solid.
I know this is crazy, but like he might be the most like efficient wide receiver in football. Like you just know, like because like yeah, you can say Lamb and Jefferson, right? But it's like they you know they have games sometimes they get shut down, right? Like St. Brown, I just feel like like he's gonna get you 50 to 60 yards every single game almost, and like he's gonna get the receptions and he's gonna have that. Like this is like truly like efficient, like. Like we're talking about Mike Evans, like we're gonna look back like 6-10 years from now and be like, I'm gonna say Brown, like just like efficient wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you know, really like, oh, how's he in front of Puka? I worry about Puka's health a little bit. How's he in front of CD Lamb? I just have questions around Lamb that no one else does. That's all.
Again, another tough guy though, like who's always like dealing with like on the injury report, but like never really misses games. Like he is tough. And he's gonna tough it out, and it doesn't matter. Like some guys, like they'll play hurt, and it's like, okay, like what are you doing, right? And it's like when he plays hurt, it's like, wasn't he dealing with like turf toe? Like how does he have 86 yards and 2 touchdowns? Like,
and that's the thing for me. Like if I'm honest, it felt the times like Amon-Ra had a bad year last year.
Yeah,
and he had 1500. He had 115 catches, 1200 yards, 12 touchdowns. Like I am fine with that. Again, I still think the AJ Brown thing is criminal. And like it broke my brain, by the way, clearly. Like on this show, we both thought that we were missing someone.
Brain from that, yeah.
So Jefferson versus Chase. But I think we actually agree on this.
We do.
Justin, but can I tell you this? So I have like you and I have talked about this before this show, before we knew we were gonna do this show. And I'm like, I just think Chase is better. Like the vibe thing, I just think Chase is better. And I looked more into it and like, I can't make that case. Like the more I looked at it, right? You know how sometimes when you get in a sports debate and you know that you're like, let's just not have it. Cause I know I can't really make the case. It's just how I feel. And I don't want to argue right now. And I was like, but if that's how I feel about Ja'Marr Chase versus Justin Jefferson, like maybe something's wrong. And the more you look into it, like, yes, last year, Chase was better. But if you take a look over the last 2 years, and Justin's missed time, more 80-yard games, more 100-yard games. You go over the last 3 years, which brings in the JJ 1,800-yard season, where he won Offensive Player of the Year. Justin had 30 games with 80 or more yards. Chase had 24. JJ had 20 games with 100 yards. Chase had 14. They're the two best guys in football. For me, at the wide receiver position, I don't know anyone else. Like, I'm very excited. It's the last one that comes out, Chris, the receiver thing. They do highest ranking, lowest ranking. I am very interested to see if the lowest ranking on Chase and Jefferson, if either guy is not second. Like,
those guys are crazy. They will. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, like, it's so tough because, like, again, like we were talking like before GTD one night where we were just like, you know, we're like, what is Jefferson going to do? Like, how good is JJ McCarthy? So, like, if we're ranking it based off of it, we're going to look back next year, who is going to perform the best? Again, I am very big on the Bengals this year. Like, I think playoff team.
You're in.
We're a great season. I'm all in on the Bengals. It's now or never.
Yeah.
Chase will have the better numbers, better quarterback play, better, you know, I don't want to say better team because Minnesota is a good team, but the quarterback play is big. And then if you're asking me, I'm on the clock. You're telling me I get to pick any wide receiver to build my team around. I go Jefferson. Like he is my favorite player in the league. Like Jefferson, Gibbs, Garrett Wilson, like three favorite players in the league, obviously the way I have them ranked. like I think Justin Jefferson is like the best wide receiver in football. Like skill wise, like, the one thing that, like, makes him better than Ja'Marr Chase, and, like, I don't know if people are ready to have this conversation, is, like, Justin Jefferson is, like, the cleanest route runner in football. Mm-hmm. Like, and, again, no slant on Ja'Marr Chase. Like, he's great, but, like, Ja'Marr is, like, 5 light years better as a route runner than Ja'Marr Chase is. Now, maybe Chase is probably better one-on-one down the field, but, like, Jefferson is, like, really good at that, too. So, like, disparity is not, like, there as much as it is with the route running. So, like, if you're telling me overall numbers, I think Chase finishes above Jefferson. If you're asking me who I think the best wide receiver is in football,
yeah.
I'm deciding, like, it's Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I initially like went into it. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like Jefferson has some lower games than Chase. It's like, not really.
No, he
Like,
doesn't. That's the thing. It's crazy.
it's like, oh, I was like, I don't know. I watched it sometimes. I was like, I don't know. Is Chase a little bit faster? And then, like, look, again, I have Chase second. We're going to do the quarterbacks next week on this podcast. It'll be me, Friezo, and Yarnell, which is going to get nuts. It's going to, Chris knows it's going to get nuts. Like, I think very highly of Joe Burrow. And that elevates. It helps. It helps a lot. Like Justin Jefferson last year, it's like, oh, he has Sam Darnold. Well, like, it's just, I gave him a lot of credit. So you want to, let's read these again. I can't believe I thought you ranking Saquon third would be the most offensive Eagles thing, and then you did
Nope.
that.
Nope.
All right, so go ahead, run through your top 10 again.
All right. 10, Mike Evans. 9, Brian Thomas Jr. 8, Nico Collins. 7, Puka Nacua. 6, Garrett Wilson. 5, Malik Nabers. 4, Amon-Ra St. Brown. 3, CeeDee Lamb. 2, Justin Jefferson. 1, Ja'Marr Chase.
For me, number 10, Mike Evans, 9, Tyreek, 8, Nico Collins, 7, my guy, Brian Thomas Jr., 6, CeeDee Lamb, 5, Puka Nacua, 4, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 3, AJ Brown, Chris is insane, 2, Ja'Marr Chase, and number 1, Justin Jefferson.
Kev, a little friendly wager right now between you and I.
I'm in already. Go ahead.
We'll wager on it. I'll take DeVonta Smith to have a better season than AJ Brown this year.
I mean, sure. We can take, because like I feel like I have to give you something in return. Like I know I'm like, what do you
No,
think?
no.
Oh,
To
you
me,
just
it's
want
like
it.
50-50.
Look, can I just pull up the yards just to see what those look
Yeah,
like?
so like AJ Brown's probably going to be.
So AJ is 1125 and a half.
Wow, that's a lot.
And
And
Devontae's,
Devontae's probably not,
go ahead, what do you
not
think?
even 950.
850.
Can you parlay these? Because like
You don't.
I want to parlay G-Dub
Oh.
and Devontae Smith both over receiving yards.
So, in all seriousness, here, I'll give people a little insight into the show because Chris and I are recording this on a Thursday just in case some big news comes out weirdly. And we were like, oh, like maybe we'll do something different on a Thursday. I think we do like a milestone NFL parlay for the show tonight. So, I
Yes.
know people. By the way, so people are gonna be like, hold on a second, like how are we gonna, we're hearing this on a Friday, how are we gonna watch the show? We'll tweet it out. We'll make sure we tweet it out, but maybe we'll do something like that on Game Time Decisions. Chris, what a treat.
That was great. Thank you for having me.
I can't believe the AJ Brown thing, it's driving me nuts. But you're the best. That was a lot of fun.
Thank
By the
you. Thank
way,
you.
my plan here is as you're listening to this, there should be a basketball episode on your feed as well that I'm going to do solo style. So you guys, for the hoop heads, we get that. Football fans get excited. We're going to start to mix these in a lot more. So you will see Chris. I still do plenty of solo shows, but you'll see Chris certainly throughout football season get in the mix with us here on the Kevin Walsh Show. Make sure you are subscribed, rate, review, all that good stuff. Kevin Walsh Show, a Sports Grid podcast. See you next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Message and data rates may apply or consult a doctor prior to use. Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.